Welcome back, everyone. Lieutenant Colonel Congressman Alan West joins us. Congressman, as you know, the morning's been consumed with Ebola. What is going on in Dallas? The president told us September 16th he's been assured it's not going to come, likely not going to come here. Then we heard it's not likely going to be a problem here. And now we have two Americans who got it here and one person brought it here. And now does anyone feel assured that Ebola is not going to, that we're ready to handle any type of Ebola outbreak? Are you?
Well, no. There is a serious crisis of confidence in the United States of America right now because they see an administration, they see a Center for Disease Control that is not controlling this disease, and no one really knows who is in charge. And what's even worse, we're about to send a bunch of our American troops into harm's way against a virus, and they're not properly prepared or ready and trained to go and contend with that environment, but yet we won't send them to Iraq and Syria to fight against ISIS. The most important thing is we have to cordon off the area where we see the most severe of this outbreak. We have to limit the travel of individuals coming out of that area to here. You can have aid workers, medical workers, yeah, things of that nature that want to go, but you have to start taking that action first and foremost. And then the other thing, Brian, we should have established centers of excellence. Every hospital is not prepared to contend with this very infectious disease, and I think that's what you see happening in Dallas. And understand, there are 77 total identified medical staff workers that had contact with the gentleman who died out in Dallas. And these are two of those 77 that have already contracted.
You know what I would like to see? I don't even need to see. I thought Bill Frist would be the perfect mix because he's a medical guy, political guy. And he just seems to have respect for Democrats and Republicans. You serve with him. Didn't you guys overlap?
No, I didn't overlap with him, but I know of him, and I know some of the work he's done. And you're absolutely right. He'd be a perfect person to put in charge of this because the current head of the CDC has lost complete confidence. Or you can also look at the United States Northern Command. They have the resources, and their responsibility in the Department of Defense is to make sure that civilian relief and humanitarian disasters within our borders are taken care of. But where is Jay Johnson? Homeland Security, that's what I'm saying. So it's just so, frustrating right now for the American people, this absence of any type of leadership.
Yeah, or just get a CEO, Jack Welch, who in his heyday could organize anything. You get people who are reporting to you. They're going to be accountable to you. The CDC guy, Tom Friedman, might be a wonderful person, but he overlearned all his don't panic cadence. He talks to us like we're on Sesame Street. And a lot of things he says turn out not to be true. But let's just segue out of that. There's a big story in the New York Times today. It goes about 5,000 pages about weapons of mass destruction found in Iraq, 5,000 separate shells of different chemical weapons that guys like you might have been exposed to and were told to keep quiet. Number one, they say, well, this is the wrong type of chemical weapon. This is not the ones we went in there for. Have you heard about this? What's your instant take on it?
Well, I was there in Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and also in 2003 in Iraqi Freedom. And in Desert Shield, Desert Storm, we did have instances of individuals that were destroying shells that had chemical weapons capability, and a lot of our soldiers were, stricken by that, and we're still contending with it. But, I had friends, and they told me, plenty of times that they were finding things that were hitting out some of these remote locations. We've even found ammunition and armaments that were from some European countries that nothing was ever said about. So, the truth amazingly always comes out eventually, Brian, and I think that's what you see happening. But, my bigger concern right now is that this exact same area that they're talking about is now the area that's being overrun by ISIS. And what happens if they get these artillery shells and they start using those artillery shells as improvised explosive devices going into Baghdad?
Well, I would say this. Actually, there was reports that the Kurds were saying that they've been used against them again, but we'll see about that. But, Colonel, the other thing is, what do you mean you didn't find weapons of mass destruction? I don't care when they're from. They weren't turned over. That was part of the problem. 2,500 eroded chemical rockets, 5,000 shells. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't really care when you made them, if the program was as active as they thought. They still were there. They knew they were there. And they easily could have turned them over and they would have looked like heroes. But Saddam didn't. That was part of the problem. We always had to discover this stuff.
Yeah, and that was part of the United Nations resolution. That was not part of America's resolution, just the same as we see right now, Iran thumbing their nose. And it's funny that no one is talking about this mysterious explosion that happened at the Pachin nuclear test facility in Iran. I mean,
tell me about that. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, look it up, P-A-C-H-E-N. There was about 10 days ago an incredible explosion at this nuclear research facility. Everyone said it was very minor, but now a lot of satellite imagery is showing something that is, you know, the cratering and some of the blast effects. This was not something that was minor. So what were the Iranians testing? And Pachin was one of the places where Iran was refusing to let U.N. weapons inspectors go and take a peek at. So, but you're not hearing this in the news because, as you know, there's a lot of backdoor negotiations between the Obama administration and Iran about easing up the sanctions, allowing them to have more centrifuges, because I believe in the end result, President Obama wants the Iranians to be the boots on the ground to deal with the ISIS threat. And, of course, Iran is going to extract a very, very heavy cost for that.
Well, I don't want that, and you don't want that, and the president's got to get it done before the midterms because he's likely to lose the Senate, and the Senate is demanding to have a vote to ratify any treaty the president comes up with Iran. He can't get one Democrat to join him right now. Can Senator Graham and Senator Corker? Not one. Even Senator Menendez, who's questioning the president and the way he's approaching these talks, not one Democrat. So if you can get control of the Senate and at least put a check on the president, that's enough reason to vote for them in the midterms.
That's a huge reason, not to mention also 367 pieces of legislation that are sitting on Harry Reid's desk that have been passed in a bipartisan manner in the House of Representatives. So that obstructionist has to go, and we have to get a growth and opportunity type of policy agenda, legislative agenda for this country and get this thing turned around so that the president's not just running roughshod.
Well, here is President Obama yesterday, knowing that Kobani needed 21 strikes in 24 hours, yet we only struck 5 times in 3 weeks in that region. We were told by our Secretary of State, Kobani doesn't matter. Well, suddenly it matters. He says one thing, does another. Here he is yesterday. Cut one.
There are not quick fixes involved. We're still at the early stages. As with any military effort, there will be days of progress, and there are going to be periods of setback. But our coalition is united behind this long-term effort.
Really? How's it going so far, Colonel?
It's going horribly. And let's put this in a comparative analysis. In about 90 days, 500 to 600 U.S. Special Forces operators and CIA operators teamed up with the Northern Alliance and with U.S. air power, routed a 70,000-man Taliban army and also 5,000 al-Qaeda fighters out of Afghanistan. Now, the president has been at this since August the 8th. So, about 73 days?
Yep.
And ISIS is still conducting offensive operations. They're still seizing more terrain and more ground. This is not going well. I don't know. You know, even Eugene Robinson said the president is in some type of self-delusional
liberal columnist.
State. Absolutely, very liberal columnists. And so, you know, I think that here we have a president that really does not know what he is doing. There is no strategy. Let's be very honest. Susan Rice was an embarrassment going on the Sunday talk shows. We come to find out that Turkey is not providing us air bases from which to launch. They said maybe we can train some people there. So this quote-unquote NATO ally is not doing anything to help the situation. As a matter of fact, they're exacerbating the situation watching the Kurds get slaughtered.
Yeah, no, so not only that, make it worse. Congressman, they bombed the Kurds yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They bombed the Kurds in their own country. Do you believe this? Because the Kurds
said, if you don't
help us out, we're going to go back to our guerrilla war ways.
Well, this is the whole point. ISIS is doing, you know, truly the work that the Turks would love to see done, and that's to eradicate and eliminate the Kurds and reduce any possibility of an independent Kurdistan. And President Obama is sitting back and allowing Erdogan to do this. We're not providing any weapons support, arms support, or anything. As you just said, all of a sudden now we've flown 21 airstrikes in 24 hours when previous to that, 5 airstrikes in 3 days, 3 weeks, and Secretary of State Kerry saying it did not matter. Well, what message do you send to ISIS and to Turkey up to this point?
Here is Josh Earnest yesterday. The question's from Ed Henry. Cut two.
Are we winning?
Well, again, we're talking about a coalition of 60 nations that are working closely with Iraqi security forces and working to build up Syrian opposition fighters. And there is no doubt that we can point to the success in the early days of this strategy.
So we're winning?
I mean, when you say we're talking about a coalition of 60 nations working closely with Iraq to successfully implement. And, yes, we are succeeding in this effort.
Is that embarrassing? Is there a person in America, even a Democrat, that thinks we're succeeding?
Well, the thing is, Josh, I call him Josh, not so earnest. You know, when you look at that sound clip, he has to remind you of Baghdad Bob on medical marijuana. This is absolutely abhorrent what he said. And no, the American people don't believe him. The American people don't believe that. And we're tired of the lies. We're tired of the deceit that is emanating from this White House. And that's why I think you're going to see something very incredible happen in 3 weeks from now.
With the election. Well, I'll tell you what, the president has done everything to tell the American public, I am not ready and I don't care. Congressman/Colonel Alan West, thanks so much.
Absolutely. He's off to more fundraisers today, Brian.
It's unthinkable. He's mocking us.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Colonel.